And welcome to Racing Only Better ahead of day four of Royal Ascot. We're here to mark a card. As always, hope the week is going well. Kevin Blake, how are we?
Hello, excellent, Hugh. We're getting good there, place. We're getting there. We still don't know what's going to happen with this forecast. Thunderstorms due tonight, that's Wednesday night. So we could be looking at a slightly different landscape at Ascot tomorrow thereafter. But we'll work our way as best we can and see what we land on.
We will. Tony Calvin, you're with us?
I certainly am. Yeah, obviously we're recording this just after midday on Wednesday, and I used two forecasts, and one suggesting we're going to get 24 mil into tomorrow, and the other suggesting 3 mil. So as with all weather forecasts, we don't know. And apparently it is proper firm ground on the straight track on day one. So if they don't get the rain and they're not watering, it's going to be lightning fast on Thursday. But if they get the rain, it could be good to soft stroke soft. So we're in the dark, boys.
Yeah, it'll make our tipping a little bit difficult, I guess. Dan Barber, you're present and correct as well, before we get stuck in.
Yeah, as we speak, I mean, we keep saying this as we speak at the time of recording, etc. But we've seen only one day sport at the moment, and it featured the most blistering gallop I think I've ever seen on, as Tony said, which Simon Rowlands, for instance, was saying it was firm ground based on the time. So that's going to be a massive departure if the rain does come. And clearly, we're treading slightly carefully at this stage.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we're ready to rock and roll, so we'll get stuck in, if you don't mind. The Albany is the first on the card, lads. 2:30, and it's 6 furlongs, Group 3. We've got Melania Trump, or Floatist, as she's better known, 7-2. Hello, you, 9-2. We've got Prettiest in there, 5-1. Cachet, 7-1. Oscilla, who ran a cracker last time. TC put up at 7-1, and you got 12-1 bar. Right, Kev, kick us off here. Is it going to be Melania Trump to win this, or do you like something else?
Well, Melania Trump is a very, very nice filly. This could all be totally flipped around by the time we get to Friday. But on the first day, it seemed to be, you know, you're better off high than low. She's drawn stall 5, but look, we'll keep an eye on that. The Prettiest is the one that I've kind of had in mind for this for a while. There's a few properly nice fillies in this, and the Prettiest is one. She's certainly the best bred of them. She's by Dubawi out of Alice Springs, who won a few Group 1s. Reading between the lines, she wasn't expected to be really ready for her debut at Navan. Their main Albany filly, Contarelli Chapel, had got hurt in her previous start, and they decided just to start this one off and hope that she showed enough to justify bringing over. And she duly did. She went and won, and she just looked wonderfully straightforward. You know, she's got a real nice way of carrying herself. She was, what you know, always in control, really. You think that this slightly longer trip will very much suit, and nice stiff track, etc. She's going to probably be a miler at least in the fullness of time. And yeah, she's very nice. I like Prettiest a lot. And I'd also give a small mention for Eve Lodge, who will appreciate a good bit of rain if it falls. And I was impressed with her both days, and I could see her running a nice race too.
So Prettiest is around about 5-1 as things stand. 4 places in the Betfair Sportsbook for this one. So an each way proposition. Tony Calvin, has Osculin appealed to you here after you put her up the last day?
Not really. This is quite a tricky race. I was a big fan of Hello You when that one won first time out of Wolverhampton. But Kevin's mentioned the horse I like. The horse I like at the prices anyway, Eve Lodge. We're recording this just after midday on Wednesday. And it is a general 16-1 shot, and there's 18s in the place. And I thought that was very big. Now, they pulled this horse out, the Queen Mary, on Wednesday because of the fast ground. So they'd be hoping for a bit of dig. And that was the conditions where she posted a pretty good time at Lingfield, albeit at 4-7. When we went in at 4-7 last time. But I think her third here to get ahead on her debut was the better of the performances. She finished off that race really strong over 5 furlongs. So it could be a blessing in disguise that she couldn't run because of the fast ground over 5 furlongs on Wednesday. And I think 6 furlongs, hopefully with that rain will come and put some ease in the ground. And I thought at 16s, 18s, I thought Eve Lodge was probably the each way bet in the race.
Okay, good stuff. So Eve Lodge for Tony and for Kevin as well. So it's two interesting pokes. Dan Barber, who do you like in the opening race, please?
Stick that third into the back of the net.
Oh, wow. Really? Really?
Close range. This is Ronaldo last night. Actually, he only got 2, didn't he? I thought she was most interesting at the prices. Now, granted, as we mentioned in the previous show, the most impressed I've been with a UK 2-year-old this season was Floatus at Goodwood. And maybe stall 5 does scupper her, it's got to be said. But equally, only 15 running this. It's not one of those 25 runner jobbies. So with if she breaks better, there is a chance she gets across. So I'm loath to play the race without playing her as well. And the draw is likely to ensure we get a bigger prize. But yeah, I liked Eve Lodge at the prices. And it's a pretty simplistic formula, but it got a couple into the frame yesterday, including Arecibo. But it's Jamie on the straight track at Ascot. And he rides it so, so well. He was brilliant on Arecibo. Unfortunately, I didn't get the lot because he didn't come through to win that race. But he ran really well under an archetypal Spencer Ascot ride, and I'm expecting she'll get the same in a strongly run race.
So, well, that's three pretty strong pokes, gentlemen, for Eve Lodge, a big prize as well. That's very interesting altogether. Right, we'll move on, can we, to the next on the card we're going to talk about, which is the King Edward VII Stakes. So it's a mile and a half, Group 2. And I don't have prices just up in front of me at the moment here, gentlemen, but Kev, you can just kick us off if you don't. Who is your fancy for the King Edward before I pull this up? Please.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. Now, look, Elenk here is going to be quite a short price fav, you'd imagine. Beat the subsequent Derby winner last time at Sandown. People will choose to read that literally. Don't forget, Yabir was only a neck behind the eventual Derby winner that same day, and Yabir will be quite a bigger price, one would imagine, here. And look, Aidan O'Brien has gone for the Mediterranean, which was slightly surprising. He had a bunch of possibilities. This horse was also entered in the Queen's Vase, and they've decided to go with him here. He ran well at Leopardstown, but it wasn't the run that was screaming more to come from him, for me at least. Title was a horse that it's very interesting that they've gone here with Title, because the handicapper, we discussed it on the full preview of the meeting, like the handicapper is incredibly generous and giving him a mark of 92, but they've decided not to try and exploit it by going for the King George V handicap or something like that. They've decided to roll a big dice, as John Gosden might say, and come in here literally £20 wrong with one or two. So that one assumes that's indicative of the regard he's held in. And he's not going to be an All-Ireland price now or anything, but I was impressed with him at Yarmouth. I think the form stacks up well. Yeah, rather than running to 92, I'd say he could have run closer to 100 there if he took a slightly rosier view of it. And there's definitely more to come. The stamina test will, he'll appreciate the stamina test. I know he carries himself a small bit high, but he's a grandson of Monju, so that's not, that doesn't tend to hold back them too much. And yeah, it would be a tentative shout now. This is a really competitive race, but Title is a real potential improver, and I could see him going very well.
Okay, tentative Title shout for Kevin Blake. What about yourself, Dan?
I'm hoping eight stand the ground here, and I'm hoping there is no rain, because it's another one of those races that we discuss, isn't it, gents, where the each way angle could potentially be scuppered if something comes out after rain. I wouldn't be surprised to see Gear Up bounce back. There's not much competition for the lead, and we've seen these Johnson horses put poor runs behind them very regularly down the years. But I'm most like Tasman Bay. Maybe he's a bit flattered by that John Leaper performance. It's not as if John Leaper boosted it at Epsom, but he clearly seemed unsuited to the track to me, and he's just surely going to improve up to a mile and a half, isn't he? He's a big unit, loads of scope. He went toe-to-toe on that front with John Leaper. You couldn't tell them apart. Dan went over a mile and a half. He's by Le Havre. I think he's going to improve for the trip, and I'm hoping connections mean that he's underrated in the betting.
Lovely. Okay, good stuff. For yourself, TC?
Yeah, talk about John Leaper. I think Frankie got away with that, didn't he? Because looking back at that Derby ride, it was a bit of a shocker, wasn't it?
And he went about 20 wide, didn't he?
And I'll tell you, what was even a bigger shocker, John Leaper actually traded at 3.15 in running, which is like, for a horse that was beaten in the next parish, it was, anyway. I thought this race was incredibly tricky. I do a preliminary chat for Royal Ascot at Ryan at the start of the week on normally on a Sunday. We go through the whole week with, you know, his preliminary thoughts. And he did mention the Mediterranean for the King Edward VII Stakes. So presumably this has been, I know they had a lot of horses in it, but presumably this has been the plan all along. And it'd be very interesting to see how Ruling gets on in the Queen's Vase on Wednesday, because his form ties in very closely with him. He showed a really good attitude to beat that horse at Leopardstown last month. And, you know, didn't do too badly in Listed Company next time. And I just get the feeling that they think he's a really progressive horse. Title, I don't know why they're not going for a handicap off a Marco 92. He looks an absolute gift, and he's got the speed figures to back it up as well. So not a race that I've got a betting opinion at the moment, but I thought there was a bit of 9-2 knocking around for the Mediterranean, and I thought that was fair enough. But it's, I don't see much of a betting edge in this race as it stands.
Okay, no worries at all. Well, we'll push on. So to the Commonwealth Cup, Group 1 over 6 furlongs, 3:40 on the card. Campanelle is your 4-1 favourite. Nothing really between Campanelle and Suesa at the moment, 9-2. Dragon Symbols in there at 7-1. You've got Supremacy, 8. Diligent Harry, 11-1. And 12-1 Bar. Right. Okay, Dan, kick us off in this one, please. In the Commonwealth Cup, who do you like?
Well, there are a few I can definitely see bouncing back. The likes of Miss Amulet and the Learjet, who they tried to turn into Guinness horses. But as it stands, it seems high is favoured, and I think both of those might have been scuppered by the draw. I see no reason to change my view at this stage on Dragon Symbol, who I put up on the preview show. He's copped one of the better draws. He's in 18. Murphy's back on. He won on him during that. I think he won the second start of his career when he started it 4 from 4. And he was just touched off on the sandy, in the sandy lane on heavy ground, trying that surface for the first time. But the speed he showed at Hamilton the time before suggests he's not a mudlark at all. So only 5 races into his career, a career that started only this year. He's a good prospect, this horse. And I think with the draw having lined up nicely for him, he's the one they've got to beat.
Tony Calvin, your thoughts, please, on the Commonwealth Cup.
I thought a 21 runner race, this looked an absolute nightmare.
Right up your street, though.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I probably want 4, 5, 6 places to tempt me in this one. I looked at it and your eyes glaze over, doesn't it? I think obviously the one that's going to be favourite, especially if the run comes, is the French horse Suesa down the bottom. Impressive last time. The second's come out of one, a listed race. So I think Suesa is down the bottom. He's probably the most likely winner, but I have had a little nibble, very small, on Jumbie Antipost, 14s and 16s for this. Like I said, I should have waited because the field's really stood up and I think you'll get plenty of places in here. But yeah, I think it got course form. I think that win at Newmarket last time is a very strong handicap form. Jadwell didn't win last time, last weekend, but travelled like much the best horse throughout the race. So I'll be taking a positive view of that form. Even though he's only rated 104 and he meets obviously much higher rated rivals here. I thought Jumbie, if you can get 12s, 14s with plenty of extra places, he could be the plan here, but this probably would be one of the smallest stakes races of the day on Friday for me.
It was a very cautionary warning for Jumbie and a difficult race. Kevin, it is a difficult race. In fairness, you can make a case for a good few. Who's the most likely winner in your view?
Yeah, really tough now. It's kind of so tightening this in my mind now. I'm inclined to wait until we see how much rain we get before giving a final answer in my betting that Betfair tipping piece. Look, there's a few that haven't been mentioned. Measure of Magic is one I definitely give a shout to. I mentioned her in the full week preview, trained by Johnny Murta. She had a good bit of racing last season, but she's looked better than ever this time around. She's the last horse to beat Logo Hunter, who looks one of the best sprinters in Ireland, certainly. Beat him in a listed race at Navan. Beat him quite well, it must be said. And came out then and took on the fillies and absolutely bossed them. Could afford to wander around like an Egypt late on. She the race won from so far out. She looks definitely an improved filly. I suppose you might have a little small question mark over her stamina for a stiff six, especially if it does get rain softened. But I think she'll probably be okay on balance. And yeah, she's definitely one of interest taking on the boys. Tony mentioned Suesa. Definitely, you know, had a good look at her videos this morning. And gee, she's been impressive this year since, she looked impressive last year, but she switched yard and she's looked particularly good this season. Form has been holding up well. I'm sure Campanelli is. It's not ideal, is it? But we'll wait and see what this rain does, you know. Wait and see what it does. You couldn't consider it ideal. Yeah. Campanelli is drawn a bit higher and she's going to go forward. Look, this trip appeals is likely to be her best, I think. She won the Mornay over, didn't stay the mile at the end of the year, the Breeders' Cup. I almost said it. There's been great chat about her. Oh my God. Wes Ward, if you saddle up a donkey and send him down to the start in the Queen Mary, Wes Ward would talk him up. Would talk her up even.
And Dan would believe it.
Yeah, my God.
Although as we talk now, have you seen the cash for the two on the second day? I mean, they've both been smashed, haven't they? The Ward pair on the Wednesday.
Well, you can imagine, though, if you didn't know him and you were listening to him, you'd say, oh my God, this is an absolute certainty. But he is, you have to remember that he is a particularly bullish man, and it's great that he speaks so freely, but he thinks Everton's going to win, so don't pay too much attention.
He's the American Shark Hanlon, is he?
Literally. You'll never get that comparison again. No,
no. I'd fight Wesley Ward. I wouldn't fight the Shark.
Look, this has been our target, obviously, and she was good at the meeting last year. So again, I'm running around in circles a little bit, but that's kind of my long list. And we'll make a final shout on it soon enough, hopefully, once we get a clearer idea of what this bloody weather is going to do.
Lovely. Okay, well, the next on the card is, I think, one of the races of the week, lads. I'm really looking forward to this. Coronation Stakes, 4:20 on your card. And the betting is as follows for these fabulous fillies. Mother Earth is at 7-2, of course, winner of the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket. You've got Empress Josephine, the Irish 1,000 guineas winner. Primo Bazio, Tony's First Kiss. Pretty Gorgeous, who had her first run at the Curragh in the Irish 1,000 guineas and ran very well, considering she hadn't had a prep one. You've got Pot of Pove in there, 8-1. Alcohol Free is in there at 9s. Snow Lantern, I mean, look, it's an absolute cracker. TC, I mean, which of the fillies do you come down on? For me, at the price, I'm probably prepared to give Pretty Gorgeous a shout, given that it was her first run of the Curragh the last day, and I think she'll come on from that, although Thunder Moon's effort maybe was a little bit off-putting during the week. But Pretty Gorgeous for me. Who do you like?
I've got to say loyal to Primo Bacio. When we did the Royal Ascot anti-post preview, this horse was, I said at the time, I liked the horse, but I thought she'd drift because she was like 4s and 9-2 then, and she's got a bigger... as we speak now, there's a bit of 13-2 in the marketplace. I would suggest that will probably go. But obviously the big problem with Priyama Bachelor is she is unproven on soft ground. Now, obviously it's going to need a lot of rain from turn it to rock hard to soft ground. So hopefully what rain they do get won't turn it too bad, maybe good to soft. I'll take good to soft now, actually, looking at some of the forecasts. But yeah, I mean, she was obviously unlucky in the Fred Darling. She went off a silly price at York next time, considering how unlucky she was at Newbury. And she just like unleashed hell in the final 2 furlongs at York, didn't she? She was, her closing splits were just off the scale. And I just think she's an absolutely electric horse with just a brilliant turn of foot. If Andriette Sani can just like stalk the pace on the round course and just get her a good position and just like unleash that turn of foot in the final furlong, I think she could, you know, she could, she obviously she's got 2 classic winners in there against her, as well as Group 1 winners. But I was like massively blown away over at York last time. I was backed up by the clock to a certain degree, even though it was a slowly run race. But yeah, if the ground's not too bad, I will be saying all to Primo Bacci. And yeah, any on decent ground, 5-1 plus, I'll be playing her. And if you can get
it, not back going, is it for connections, they could potentially have the best miling filly in Primo Bacio, and they've possibly got the best sprinter in training as well in Starman for a relatively small operation.
Who do you like in this one, Dan, then?
I think there's one very solid horse, and it's Mother Earth, and Pretty Gorgeous could bounce back. I mean, we know she's better than that, and maybe Heavy Ground wasn't for her behind Empress Josephine, but that Irish Guineas form has 3 or 4 horses finishing close up at very big prices. Bell Image, Friendly, who goes in the later handicap on the Friday, it would make you think it's maybe not a solid piece of form. Whereas I think Mother Earth, yeah, the Guineas maybe hasn't worked out brilliantly, but she did nothing to knock that form herself when she was second against an improver out of nowhere in the French version. And maybe Jim Bolger just setting the tone now, but I like the fact she's running again and that she's out tackling a third big race of the season, because she strikes as a classic O'Brien horse that will continue to thrive in a race. In if the heavens do open, the other classic winner that Tony Half referred to, November, would make me interested, because yeah, it's a bit cliche, it's a German bred running on softish ground potentially, but she won the German 1000 by half the track in ridiculously dominant fashion. And there's just a chance that even Time Form have underrated that slightly. Yet she is still top rated with Time Form, and she's done it under conditions which could potentially, by race time, 4:20 on Friday, could be very similar if the rain does come.
Yeah, and I'm interested to know, I guess, how Pretty Gorgeous has come on in the last few weeks, Kevin. Have you noticed anything like particular about her? What kind of form is she in? And do you think she's worth being on side here?
Yeah, look, I think Joseph feels she's tightened up from the run. He got her as fit as he could. You know, had an interrupted prep prior to her comeback. You know, she was all set for the Newmarket 1,000 guineas and just had a bit of an issue on a scope. So didn't want to take a chance and give her an easy few days, etc. And she just like the car just went wrong. You know, she was plenty fit, but probably just not fit enough for a classic on testing ground. And as well as that, she was drawn on a wing and just never really got in. And it was just messy. And all things considered, beating 3.5 lengths probably wasn't a bad run. And look, Ascot, I think as a track would suit her very well. You know, she's a big girl, and I think even she won a filly's mile, but I wasn't even sure how much she was loving the dip, etc. there. So I think Ascot will suit her really well. A little bit of ease in the ground will obviously suit her quite well. She's got form and everything really, but she seems best with a small at least. So look, the case for her is there to bounce back, but I suppose the market isn't giving you loads of juice as a compensation for that run last time. She's still, you know, not that much of a bigger price than the classic winners in the field. Shale, if you want to talk about prices, Shale is probably overpriced. You know, herself and Pretty Gorgeous were trading blows all last season. And, you know, her comeback was far from disastrous. You know, it was actually quite a nice run at Leopardstown. She missed out on Newmarket after a little setback. But, you know, she could definitely bounce back. You wouldn't want loads and loads of rain. I think a small ease would be fine, but at the prices, you could certainly make a case that she's the overpriced one. Bit of a draw, not ideal, obviously 13-13, but yeah, she's an interesting one for me.
She is. I think I'll be, yeah, I'm Pretty Gorgeous. I think I'm going to stick with here. Four places in the Betfair Sportsbook as well. So, you know, if you fancy something at a bigger price, you're going to get some value there. We'll move on to the Sandringham, if we can. Gents, please, the 5 o'clock on the card, handicap, 0-105, over a mile. And the betting at the time of recording is Belief is your 9-1 favourite. Friendly 10-1, Create Belief 14s, along with, like I said, Glasgow Gal, Illy Cazzo, Montego Bay, and to be held all around 14-16-1. Okay, Tony Calvin, the Sandringham, this looks like a bit of a nightmare as well to figure out, but it's a handicap. So have you come down on one in particular?
I certainly have you.
Lovely.
The sportsbook prices are just up, and they have gone 16-1 friendly. Now, I think she'd go off an 8-1 poke, to be perfectly honest with you.
But she's named that for you, Tony, is she?
You what, sorry?
She's named after you, as a...
No, she's Irish bred. Blake.
Oh, look, a lot of people don't know. I'm half Northern. My old man comes from Whitehaven in Cumbria. So don't pigeonhole me as a Cockney, you Manchester Cockney, you. No, I thought this is the whole... If you remember back a few weeks after the Irish Thousand Guineas, I actually named this horse as an outsider. I was considering baffling for the Coronation Stakes when she was 50-1. And she was in the Coronation Stakes up until early in the week, but they've decided to come here instead. And I just think she's really well handicapped over a mark of 102. Now, she was rated 81 going to that classic last time, but she excelled herself in finishing sixth there. And I don't think she got the run of the race either. I think she was disadvantaged by going up the far rail. Didn't get a great deal of racing room, but clearly she made a massive step forward there. The time was that classic wasn't great, but I just think this filly is a lot better than a mark of 102. She reminds me of a lot about a horse I backed in this race a few years back, Rain Goddess, who was coming here off the back of a classic run as well. Now, she was chinned by, ironically, a Wesley Ward horse, I think, back then. But, Rain Goddess. But I just think this horse will outclass these. I'm willing to back her at 8-1 plus, and her price will have to plummet dramatically for me not to tip her. So friendly, I think it's got the class edge over these, and I think she'd go very, very close to winning. And obviously that Curra run came on heavy ground, so the more rain, the better. She has got good ground form as well. Friendly for me, all over her.
Five places on the Betfair Sportsbook as well. Dan, who for you?
Well, there's Van Gerwen, Phil the Power. I'm double darting, but Friendly is one of them as well, just because of that cross angle. But, I mean, I don't know what her proximity and Bell Image's proximity says about the form of the Irish Guineas. But whatever it says about it, 102 could potentially be lenient. And it's not a small stable that's had this. I mean, this is a yard in Aidens who have had horses show big improvement and then justify it and back it up. so many times. And the fact she's still to win is obviously a bit of a negative, but she might just be the sort of horse that will excel herself regardless of the company. And for that reason, I'd want to back a winning place. And the other one I wanted to have a crack at, hoping the rain doesn't come to some extent, but that's Gleska Gal. She was very impressive, and she's a fast improver. Since the headgear went on, she's 2 from 2 in handicaps, and she's got a real turn of pace. She was electric from off the back at Wolverhampton last time. She got to translate it to turf, but I see no reason why she wouldn't be able to. She had turf form last season. They're my two against the field.
Okay, good stuff. We'll move on to the Duke of Edinburgh. Once again, 5 places on the sports book. It's the 5.35 on the card, and it is 1.5 miles handicap from 0 to 105. The betting is a day, a 7-1. Quick Thorn, 7-1. Favourite Moon is in there at 10s. You've got Grand Bazaar, 10-1. Tritonic, 12s, and so on. Right, Dan Barber, your thought, please, on the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes.
Well, I put up Raymond Tusk at a massive price at York, and he ran into Illarab. I thought he shaped really, really well, but I think one might have scuppered him. I don't think you want to be trapped on the inside in this race. And so I'm going for another Alan King horse instead. Tritonic. Didn't do me a good turn in the Triumph Hurdle, but the Chelmsford race was clearly a means to an end. It was the wrong trip. It was his first start on all weather. As it happens, the second has come out and won since. He's had one visit to Royal Ascot, and he was second in that absolutely mustard Golden Gates. Highland Chief won it. Kev's favourite horse, Global Storm, I won off, was back in third, who has done nothing to let that form down since. He's off the same mark. He's just rock solid, I thought. And if there's a negative, it's the fact he's been on the go for a while, but they've sensibly sat off him since Chelmsford. He's had 6 or 7 weeks, and I thought he was an extremely solid each way bet.
Lovely stuff. Okay, that is. And a decent price as well. What about for you, Tony? Another handicap here. Have you any strong thoughts?
Yeah, I do. I have a very strong opinion on this. I think the race in which Jeremiah beat Sam Cook at over course and distance last July was going to be the key to this race. Well, I hope it is anyway. The sportsbook have opened up 25-1 Sam Cook. I think that's an absolutely enormous price. I'd probably end up backing him at 12-1 or bigger. I tipped him up at York last time. He raced far too freely, and Ross O'Ryan, maybe by accident rather than design, went far too soon on him, traded at 11-10 and run in and just like capitulated close home after looking likely to win. So I think with the course form, with hopefully a bit of rain coming, I think Sam Cook is a massive player here. And the horse that beat him by a short head at Ascot last year is Jeremiah, only £3 higher from that run. And I should mention they pulled 5 lengths clear of the third that day as well. So and that race was running a really good time. So I think Jeremiah, coming off the back of an eye-catchingly good run at first last time, where he travelled really well into the race, maybe looking like winning, but just tailed off a little bit on his first run of the season. I think Sam Cook is my premier bet in here. Like I said, he's 25s at the moment, but I'll be willing to back him at half that price. And I see Jeremiah in here. There's 33-1 in the marketplace at the moment. That is just a mad price. I don't know what the odds compiler's looking at there. But Sam Cook and Jeremiah are the two in here for me. I'll be playing them each way, and I'll be playing them pretty strong.
Lovely. Okay, two massive shouts and a strong fancy from Mr. Tony Calvin. Okay, so our last race of the day, lads, is the 10 past 6, the Palace of Holyrood House Stakes. Wonderfully named race, final one of the day. And again, it's a handicap over 5 furlongs, so you need to have fast horses here. And our resident expert on fast horses is Kevin Blake. Kevin, who is the fastest?
Warrior Brave might be the fast. This is for those pesky horse watchers. They've been at it again here. Bought this horse and have done a great job with him. Mick Appleby, he ran only last Saturday Sandown in a listed race. He looked quite wrong at the weights, but I think there might have been a master plan at play. I mean, he's gone and run an absolute cracker to finish second to Vitalis Bay, a horse I like a lot, and the official handicapper has put him up £7 for that run, but he won't be able to impose that on him until after this. He's £7 well in, and they've stuck the blinkers on first time here, and the draw has been reasonably kind. I think a stiff 5 furlongs like this will suit him very well. Look, I think the ground will be fine whichever way it goes. He's been running on fast ground. He showed some form and with a bit of an ease in it when he was trained over here in Ireland. But yeah, Warrior Brave will be the one for me. The market maybe hasn't fully caught up with the fact that he's so well in yet.
Okay, good stuff, Kev. That's a strong fancy. Right for yourself, Tony, then the Palace of Holyrood House Stakes. Holy crap, who came up with this name?
I was looking, but the prices come up for this. The first price in the marketplace for Warrior Brave was actually 10 to 1. Now, obviously, he's going to be about half that price because, as Kev said, he's £7 well in. Interestingly, they're replacing the headgear with blinkers. That's a really interesting move because I had a look at the dam and the dam improved and showed her best form in blinkers. So that could be a quite cute move as well for a horse at £7 willing. I'd be worried about if they do get shed loads of rain, but midfield draw looks to be fine. And yeah, he's the obvious one in here. Not my kind of race, but yeah, maybe six, seven to one plus. I think each way is probably a fair price. You'd be disappointed if that one's out of the frame, but a hugely competitive race, obviously. But I'm worried about the ground.
Okay, no worries. Well, you've given us two strong shouts on the previous two, so we'll forgive you not having the strongest view on this one. What about you, Dan, to finish things off? Who's your fancy in the Palace?
Yeah, proper just dipping the toe in the water here. I think I want something that, as a general, my concern with Warrior Brave, for all he's well in, and I know the lads fancy him, is whether he gets interested a bit too early in a race where we know you don't want to be ridden like that. You want to be ridden a bit colder. Bedford Fly is likely to blast off. He's a very fast horse. I mean, so many of these will be going at it. I'll dig a bit deeper, try and find a hold-up horse that's drawn high. That's my logic at this point, but the name hasn't yet jumped out at me.
Okay, good stuff, lads. All that's left then before we wrap it up is your best bets of the day. I got to go with Pretty Gorgeous. I just think, you know, she'll come on for the last run, and I really liked her last year. I'm hoping that she is the horse that everybody thinks that she might be. So Pretty Gorgeous from me. What about yourself, Dan, please?
Stuck between two, but I'll go Tritonic each way in the Duke of Edinburgh.
Lovely stuff. Kevin Blake?
For the sake of the competition, Hugh, I'll put up Prettiest in the Albany, but keep an eye out for my column now, because once this rain arrives now, things could change, and I could be napping something else altogether on the day, to be perfectly honest.
What about a prettiest each way double there? That'd be a nice bet, wouldn't it?
Oh, so lovely and pretty. Lovely.
Unlike us, anyway. Tony Calvin, last but not least, the Naps leader by a country mile. What's your fancy of the day?
Speak for yourself. This Shrek is very handsome, I assure you. I don't fancy much in the first four races, but I'm going to get my punting boots on. So I've got three options: Friendly, Sam Cook, Jeremiah. I'm going to go with a horse I would have backed for the coronation. I'm going to back it off a mark of 102 the Sandringham, and that is Friendly. Named after me, Kev, that is.
Cross doubles.
Yeah. Named after you.
Cross the doubles guy with the two in the...
Exactly, yeah. The guy who has never met Tony Calvin before in his life or heard him speak has named the horse after him called Friendly. That makes a whole lot of sense to me. Right, lads, on that note, we'll leave it. We will be back, of course, with our final day preview tomorrow for Saturday Royal Ascot. Please remember to gamble responsibly, as always. Enjoy racing today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.